Well, please open up your Bibles to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. And in the context of this passage, we see Daniel and the Israelites under the Babylonian captivity. And Daniel has been lifted and raised to a position of authority within the kingdom. Daniel chapter 6. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be throughout the whole kingdom, and to over them three presidents, of whom Daniel was one, to whom these satraps should give account, so that the king might suffer no loss. Then this Daniel became distinguished above all other presidents and satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Then the presidents and the satraps sought to find ground for complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom. But they could find no ground for complaint or any fault, because he was faithful and no error or fault was found in him. Then these men said, "We shall not find any ground for complaint against this Daniel unless we find it in connection with the law of God." Then these presidents and satraps came by agreement to the king and said to him, "O King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps, the counselors and the governors agreed that the king should establish an ordinance to enforce an injunction that whoever makes petition to any god or man for 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked." Therefore, King Darius signed the document and injunction. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows and his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he had done previously. Then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and plea before his God. They came near and said before the king concerning the injunction, "O king, did you not sign an injunction that anyone who makes petition to any god or man within 30 days except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" Then the king answered and said, "The thing shall stand fast according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be revoked." Then they answered and said before him, "Daniel, who is the one of the exiles from Judah, he pays no attention to you, O king, or the injunction that you have signed, but makes his petition three times a day." Then the king, when he heard these words, was much distressed and set his mind to deliver Daniel, and he labored till the sun went down to rescue him. Then these men came by agreement to the king and said to the king, "Know, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and the Persians that no injunction or ordinance that the king establishes can be changed." Then the king commanded, and Daniel was brought and cast into the den of lions. The king declared to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve, continually deliver you." And a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signet of the lords, that nothing might be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. No diversions were brought to him, and sleep fled from him. Then at the break of day, the king aroused and went in haste to the den of lions. And he came near to the den where Daniel was, and he cried out in a tone of anguish. The king declared to Daniel, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?" Then Daniel said to the king, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, and they have not harmed me, because I was found blameless before him, and also before you, O king. I have done no harm." Then the king was exceedingly glad and commanded that Daniel be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no kind of harm was found on him, because he had trusted in his God. And the king commanded, and those men who had maliciously accused Daniel were brought and cast into the den of lions, they, their children, and their wives. And before they reached the bottom of the den, the lions overpowered them and broke all of their bones, into pieces. Then King Darius wrote to all the peoples of the nations and languages that dwell on all of the earth, "Peace be multiplied to you. I will make a decree that in all of my royal dominion, people are to tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is a living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed, and his dominion shall be to the end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. He who has saved Daniel from the powerful jaws of the lions." So this Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Have you ever suffered? Have you ever been persecuted for your faith in Jesus Christ? Perhaps this has happened within your job or career. Perhaps it's happened within your family. Maybe there have been times when you have been ridiculed or rejected because you have faith in Jesus Christ. As we look at our society today, we can clearly see the hands of the world persecuting Christ's church. Television, radio, books, and internet just constantly promote the things of the world and reject the things of Christ. Well, there's nothing new under the sun. And as we look at redemptive history, we can see the wicked constantly persecuting and rising up against God's people. This isn't a new concept, and it's been going on since the time of the fall. The first instance in the scriptures where we see the wicked rise up against God's people is that of Cain being ruthlessly murdered by his brother Abel. A little later in the book of Exodus, we see the Israelites in bondage. They've all become slaves under the persecution of the Egyptians. We see our passage this morning where the Israelites are under the Babylonian captivity. So these are just a few examples from the Old Testament. In the New Testament, we see John the Baptist beheaded by Herod. We see many of the apostles suffer and die. In particular, we see the apostle Paul in prison numerous times before he was ultimately put to death. But all these things are mere shadows when we look at the suffering that Christ took upon himself for the redemption of his church. You see, if you're a believer, the wicked will rise up against you. This comes with the territory. The Christian life is not easy, and it's often filled with heartache and suffering. The wicked will rise up against you because they hate you. And they hate you because they hate Jesus Christ, the one that you serve. But how will the wicked rise up against you? Well, one way that the wicked will rise up against you is by devising plots against you. This is where we find Daniel this evening. As we look at the passage here, we see Daniel, a servant of the Most High God, and he's in bondage with the rest of the Israelites. But he's been brought to a position of authority within the kingdom. And he doesn't just have a little bit of authority. He has quite a bit of authority. He first is a satrap, and then he's elevated to one of the presidents, one of three presidents in the kingdom. Now, imagine what these other satraps and presidents must be thinking. They see Daniel, this man who is the descendant of a slave, and he's under bondage, but he's been elevated to this position of authority. Now, for the satraps, he's actually at a position much higher than them. But for the presidents, he has equal authority with them. But Daniel's faithfully serving his heavenly Father with faithfulness and obedience within the kingdom. And so these wicked co-workers, these satraps and presidents, have risen up against him and have devised a plot which they believe will lead to his death. They convinced King Darius to write this edict or law that would make it illegal for anyone in the kingdom to worship anyone except King Darius. They do this because they know that Daniel will never bow in prayer to anyone except the God of Jacob. And so they kind of scheme together and they catch him praying to God in his prayer chamber. And then they go to King Darius and they ultimately have Daniel thrown into the lion's den. These wicked men hate Daniel. And so they've devised plots against him, which they believe will lead to his death. I recently heard the story of an elderly Christian couple from the United Kingdom who have experienced suffering in a very real way. Peter and Hazel and Mary Bull have managed and have owned and managed a bed and breakfast stay in Scotland for many years. And they're Christians, so they run their business by Christian principles. And so really, they have two main rules. If someone is going to stay with them, if it's one person, there's no problem. But if there's a couple going to stay with them, one, they must be married, and two, it must be one man and one woman. Now, this policy was not an issue for over 20 years, but recently this couple have come under fire as they have been sued by two homosexual men claiming that their policy is a hate crime. You see, the Bulls are following and playing out the truths of God's word, but they're being persecuted for their faith. They're being persecuted by non-believers because they have not been conformed to the world, but they've been transformed by the renewal of their minds. But why do the wicked rise up against God's people? Why do they do everything that they can to see you fall? They do this because they have rejected the truth that you share with them. Look at the context of our passage this evening. Daniel has proven himself to be an honorable and upright servant in the kingdom. He's been elevated to a position of great authority and responsibility. He verbally spoke the truth to those around him, including the king. But he also shared the truth to those around him by the way that he acted. He shared the truth by fleeing and refusing to do evil. He shared the truth by refusing to worship any god except the living and the true God. And Daniel wasn't just putting on a good front. Look at verse 4 with me. Then the high officials and the satraps sought to find a ground for complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom. But they could find no ground for complaint or any fault because he was faithful and no error or fault was found in him. So his co-workers, the satraps and the presidents, they're looking to find error or fault. They wanted to have Daniel killed, but they couldn't find a way to find fault in him. He didn't give them any reason to dislike him, so they had to use the law of God to catch him. You see, the truth of the scriptures offended these people. Those around Daniel were offended by the word of God because they rejected it. They rejected the truth and they rejected Daniel, and ultimately they rejected Jesus Christ. But you see, the wicked will also rise up against you. They may gossip about you behind your back. They may try to blemish your reputation. They may say even unkind or hurtful things to your face. But you see, if you're in Christ, this is to be expected. The prophet Isaiah tells us in Isaiah 53, He, Jesus Christ, was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hid their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Jesus Christ, too, was despised, rejected, and persecuted. Men plotted against him because they rejected the truth that he taught. And so as we suffer and are persecuted for our faith, we are sharing in Christ's sufferings. And Christ knows exactly what we're going through, and he understands. But Christ doesn't allow the wicked to continue their reign of terror forever. One day Christ will rise up against the wicked. He will rise up against the wicked because they have rejected the truth and because they have persecuted his covenant people. You see, when the wicked rise up against the church, the bride of Christ, they're ultimately rising up against Christ himself. And so in due time, he will too rise up against the wicked by thwarting their plans. Let's look again at our text. Look at verse 22 with me. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth, and they have not harmed me because I was found blameless before him and also before you. O king, I have done no harm. So Daniel had been placed in the tomb with these ferocious lions, and the lions were waiting to pounce upon their prey. But God sends his angel to shut their powerful jaws. When I was in elementary school, I remember my Sunday school teacher painting this beautiful image of these friendly and tame lions, practically house cats. And the book that we read had a picture of Daniel actually laying down on the ground with these fluffy friends. You need to get this image out of your minds. This image is false. These were not friendly house cats. They didn't have names like Snickers, Fluffy, or Hairball. These were mean, carnivorous, ferocious beasts. They weren't fasting overnight because they liked Daniel. They didn't rip him to pieces because their jaws were forcibly shut by the hand of God. We know this because later in the text, when the wicked are thrown into the tomb, they didn't even get to the bottom before the lions were leaping up and ripping them apart, breaking every one of their bones, eating every part of their body. And this wasn't one person. These were multiple people, grown men, and they were being ripped apart, and their wives and their children. These were mean, hungry, carnivorous beasts. And they were restrained, forcibly restrained, for the protection of Daniel, God's faithful servant. And so in this instance, God rose up against the wicked by thwarting their plans. They had intended for great evil to happen to Daniel, but God raised up or intervened by rising up against them and by thwarting their plans. But God also rises up against the wicked by bringing just wrath and punishment against them. Look again at verse 24 with me. And the king commanded, and those men who had maliciously accused Daniel were brought and cast into the den of lions, they, their children, and their wives. And before they reached the bottom of the den, the lions overpowered them and broke all of their bones into pieces. So here we see our sovereign God working through the hands of King Darius to bring justice to those who had sinned against him. He brought righteous judgment and death to those who had risen up against a man of God and ultimately against Christ himself. But you see, God still works like this today. He works through the hands of the civil magistrate to bring justice to those who have been wronged, but also to bring just consequences to those who have done wrong. God has risen up civil magistrates to their office so they can keep order in our fallen world. But the judgments that we find here in our text and the judgments that are brought by the civil magistrate are mere shadows of what is to come. When Christ our Lord returns, he will bring judgment upon all those who have rejected him and have done evil. He will bring judgment on those who have persecuted his people, and they will suffer under the just wrath of God for all eternity. Now you may be thinking, this is all well and good, but how do I respond when I'm being persecuted? How should I respond when I'm being persecuted? How can I practically wait for God to save me? Well, you should remember that Christ has already saved you by rising up. Christ has already saved you by rising from the grave. As we look at our text this afternoon, we see Daniel placed in the pit and submitted to the great and powerful jaws of ferocious lions. But by God's grace, he is saved, and he ascends up from the lion's den. You see, he's saved because the powerful lions were conquered, and their jaws were forcibly shut. But this is a mere shadow of what our Savior Jesus Christ has done for us. Christ, the perfect, holy Son of God, willingly took upon himself the powerful jaws of sin and submission to God the Father. Throughout the scriptures, the image of the lion is often associated with sin. In fact, in Genesis 4:7, the Lord said to Cain, "If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it." Now, throughout church history, the image of sin crouching at the door has often been associated with the lion. The lion would crouch at a person's door so that he might pounce on him. But also in 1 Peter 5:8, we see that Peter says, "Be sober-minded and watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." And so when we think of the image of Daniel ascending, walking up out of the pit of lions, which had been defeated. We must think of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, ascending from the grave after conquering the powerful jaws of sin. There's more to the story here. Daniel was not the only one saved that day. So you remember, during this period of time, the Israelites were under the Babylonian captivity. And Daniel, again, being one of those in captivity, was brought to a position of authority. And with that authority, he was able to kind of keep an eye on his people and protect them and make sure that they're taken care of. But what do you think would have happened to them had Daniel died? Many theologians argue that the Israelites would have been killed. But if they weren't killed, they would have at least been greatly persecuted by the satraps and presidents who have such great influence on King Darius. And so when Daniel ascended from the lion's den, he wasn't the only one saved. This also guaranteed the safety of all of his people. And when we think of Daniel walking up from the grave, or walking up from the lion's den, after himself being saved and guaranteeing the safety of his people, we must also think of the Lord Jesus Christ and how when he ascended up from the grave after conquering the powerful jaws of sin and death, he guaranteed the safety of all of his people. But our Lord didn't just defeat the powerful jaws of sin. He defeated the powerful jaws of sin and death because he rose from the grave. As we look at our text, we see Daniel rising from the lion's den, and we think of Jesus Christ rising from the grave. He rose from the grave and ascended into heaven, where he sits at the right hand of God the Father. You see, the very essence of death is an unnatural thing. When man was created, he was meant to live forever. But as a result of the fall, sin and death were brought upon us. But Christ defeated death. Death no longer has any power over you because you have been saved by the blood of the Lamb. And so, friends, when you find yourself suffering under the persecution of the wicked, you should remember a few things. First, remember this is to be expected. Again, the mark of a Christian is not an easy life, but a life of suffering. Jesus doesn't say, "Follow me and your life will be easy." He says, take up your cross and follow me. And second, when you are persecuted, and remember, you will be persecuted for your faith, you must remember that Christ has already saved you. He has already brought you from a state of sin and misery to in a state of salvation. Jesus Christ took upon himself and defeated the powerful jaws of sin and death so that you could be saved. Saved and reconciled to God the Father. Therefore, there is nothing that man can do to harm you. And keeping in his promise, he will protect you from his and your enemies for all eternity. And so when you find yourself suffering under the persecution of the wicked, remember that Christ will save his covenant people. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the words that you've given to us. Lord, we thank you that you are indeed sovereign. And we thank you that no matter where we are, you are always in control. Lord, we ask that as we go out into the world to share your gospel with others, we ask that you give us courage and grace. We also ask that you would give us strength in knowing that we will be mocked and persecuted. And help us to remember, Lord, that as we are persecuted for you, we are sharing in your sufferings. Father, we thank you for this evening, and we thank you that you've brought all of us together. We ask that you would give us traveling mercies as we all head in our various directions. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, please open up your Psalters to Psalm 16D. Psalm 16D. Preserve me, O God, for I'm trusting in you. Yes, you are my master, I said to the Lord. Besides you, I do not possess any good. In your holy messengers, I take delight. Psalm 16b. Let's stand and sing together.